July 15th.
You've got a few witnesses who are not maybe those past couple weeks, but maybe you're not. So kind of a review. This is their third week of our study, and we're talking about what it means or what it's required to be a disciple of Christ. And we define that in the first lesson as a Christian, disciple of Christ as a Christian. We're looking at different terms that Christians are called. Okay. The first week we talked about the term child of God. Christians call that. Last week we talked about being a believer. And it's not going to be talking about a disciple. Of course, that's within the title of what our lessons are about. But we distinguished disciple of Christ as a Christian. So this is a part of one of those things of what it means to be or what's required to be a Christian. Real quick, over last week, we talked about being a believer. We talked about our basis of our faith was the Word of God and all that we do. We talked about the objects of our faith, that we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, and we believe in the gospel, those three things we talked about. And we talked about our action of faith. We talked about trust and obedience. We sing a song, Trust and Obey. We talked about trust and obedience with those. Any questions or any comments about the first 2 weeks? With that, we'll get in with tonight's lesson again. A Christian is, and we're talking about being a disciple with this here. We want to distinguish between a true disciple versus otherwise, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, okay? But one of the most frequently used terms to designate Christians is the word disciple. Go ahead and open up your Bibles with me. From the book of Acts, read a few verses here of examples of this word disciple. Acts chapter 6, we'll begin. In verse 1, we're told, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because the widows were being neglected in the daily distribution." Down to verse 2. "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give preaching and the Word of God to serve tables.'" Go down to verse 7. "And the Word of God continued to increase and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem." Notice we're not saying Christians here. We're just saying disciples at this with these. Turn to chapter 9 of Acts. Verse 1. "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest." Verse number 10. "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias." We can go down to verse 25. Told here, "But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall." So Luke records, and the disciples we talked about were called Christians first in Antioch. And that's from Acts chapter 11, verse 26. That's where they were first called them. But the word disciple describes a Christian. Let's get that straight. The word disciple describes a Christian. We talked about in our last lesson about being a believer of what? The context has to give you what you're a believer in. Same thing, you can be a disciple of many, many things. So what are you a disciple of? Of course, we're talking about being a disciple of Christ or a Christian here with that. But a disciple doesn't have to be Christian. A disciple can be of anything. Okay, as we go on our definitions of that. But, and also take note that the disciple is not something that one becomes sometime after you become a Christian. In other words, you don't become a Christian and then sometime later, whether it be the next day or a week or a year, you don't become a disciple later. Once you become a Christian, you're a disciple. You're a follower right there. Okay? Every man who is a Christian is a disciple. The Great Commission says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them." In other words, those who desire to be disciples are baptized. Okay? "In the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit." That's from Matthew chapter 28. The word baptizing here explains how one makes a man a disciple. Okay? Becomes a disciple. So a disciple is a Christian, not some special category of Christians. Where there's certain faiths, Catholic, so forth, they have their priest and so forth. Nothing like that at all. If you're a Christian, you're a disciple. Okay? Any questions about that? The word disciple was a very popular term as well to Christians that were Christians were referred to back in the early days of the Restoration movement. So much so that when the split came and they had that liberal branch of the Christian church, they designated themselves as what? They called themselves the disciples of Christ. It's a very popular term. Okay. Back when the Restoration was going. But what is the Bible saying about a Christian when the Bible designates him as a disciple? And so let's define the term. We've done it in the past, but let's do it a little bit more. The word disciple is translated from the Greek. Try to spell this here.
That's the Greek word for disciple.
And it's translated and appears 269 times in the New Testament, okay? It's always translated disciple. There are certain words, Greek words, depending on what their prefixes or their suffixes may mean a little something. But every time this is translated in the New Testament, it means disciple, okay? For the 269 times it's in the New Testament. Several definitions I'll give. This is from Vines. It defines it as a learner. So disciple is a learner, indicating thought and accompanied by an endeavor. And it's always, by the way, this word is always contrasted, and I won't try to pronounce it, with the Greek word for a teacher. Because a disciple must have what? A teacher. A learner must have a teacher. Okay? So it's always contrasted with those. But it denotes one who is following someone's teaching. All who manifest that they are his disciples by abiding in the word. By definition from Vines. Thayer says it's a learner. Disciple's a learner. Or it's a pupil. Again, a disciple. And again, it's universally opposed to this other Greek word, which I didn't write down, which means teacher. So it's always conjunction with teacher. The word is found in the Bible only in the Gospels and in Acts. Always means a pupil of someone. Always means a pupil of someone, as far as the Bible is concerned. Again, in contrast to the master or teacher. In all cases, it implies that a person is not only accepts the views of the teacher, but he also is in practice and he's an inheritor of those things. Again, we're talking about a true disciple here, not otherwise. The disciple of Christ today may be described as one who believes his doctrines, rests upon his sacrifice, and imbibes him in spirit, and imitates his example. And that's from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. The word disciple emphasizes, again, that teacher-pupil relationship. In our first lesson, we talked about child of God, we talked about that father-son relationship. We talked about the brother-to-brother relationship. This is a teacher-to-learner or a teacher-to-student or pupil relationship. It's used in the New Testament to refer to disciples of John the Baptist. We turn over to Matthew chapter 9. Again, we talked about context. You can be a disciple of someone else other than Jesus. And we have those examples from the Bible. Chapter 9 and verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast?" So again, not a disciple of Christ here, but still this word disciple, meaning learner, but here of John. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Let's begin at verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle him in his words. And they, being the Pharisees, sent their disciples, their learners, their followers, to him along with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of the God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion if you're not swayed by appearances." But here is a disciple of the Pharisees. John chapter 9. And verse 28. And they revile him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses." That's who they claim to be disciples. So it's context about who you're disciple of. Of course, there are other examples, such as Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, who are disciples of Jesus. And of course, that's what we're talking about tonight. But in reference to the disciples of Jesus, sometimes the word is used to refer exclusively to the 12 apostles. You'll see that sometimes. You'll say his disciples, but it's referring to his apostles. And keep in mind, all apostles are disciples, but not all disciples are apostles, obviously. Okay. As we examine this definition, this word disciple, I want to discover several marks of a Christian that's emphasized by this word on these things. So the first point we're going to make here, and this is the main part, we're talking about learners. Okay.
So disciples are learners. This is the main point of our lesson this evening.
And the first point of that,
there's three we're going to look at here, but learners accept.
Disciples accept the role of learners from their master, who is Jesus. We accept that role. We take on that role. It's a matter of choice. You can choose who you follow. You can choose who you're a disciple. We choose or accept our role as learners of Jesus. The disciple recognizes that he has a master teacher. Turn back over to John chapter 9, verse 2. It says here, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And then turn over to 11 and verse 8. The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again." What was the key word in both those verses? Rabbi, meaning teacher. And so they recognize Jesus as their teacher here. They're accepting that role as being a learner of Jesus, but they recognize him as a master teacher. Also, a disciple, true disciple, recognize the position of authority which this teacher holds. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, Jesus says this statement. Not everybody believes that statement. Not everybody lives that statement. But we, as learners, accept that as truth. Okay? Because we're disciples of Jesus in those things. Just because he says it to some doesn't make it true. To us, it does. Because it's Jesus who said these things. Okay? So we accept that role. There are three senses in which, I'm still going in this word disciple, trying to define a little bit more. Three senses in which men are sometimes called disciples of something, of any person. The first, and I'll try to explain these as best I can. The first one is given to them incorrectly. In other words, someone's called a disciple, but it's done incorrectly. Okay, this is the type of person who they're simply maintaining a certain position on something without any profession or proof that someone else does it. Okay. Example, that may be an atheist. An atheist may believe that murder is wrong. An atheist may be a very good person and does well to others, but he doesn't recognize that comes from God, that comes from Jesus. Okay, doesn't do that at all. Another one that we look at is maybe political parties. You may adhere to the Republican Party, Democratic Party, what it may be, but you don't profess that at all. You just, I believe in these certain things that they believe in, but you're not really a disciple of them. You just believe the same things, but you don't adhere to that. Okay. The second one, disciple, is when certain persons avow or they have adopted certain views of another, however, not on that person's authority, but it's still on their own authority. Okay. Example of this may be, well, Jesus and I agree on this, or the Bible agrees with what I believe on this. You're not giving authority to Jesus, the Bible. You're saying, I already believe this, and Jesus agrees with it, or the Bible does. Okay. And same thing with this, that may be back to the political parties. You may agree with some political party, and since we believe in these certain things, then I'm in that party because they believe how I believe, and that's the party I'm with. That makes sense so far. The third one, which is the correct definition, is when disciples of Jesus profess to receive their system of authority through their master. Everything comes through them. They believe those things because Jesus said so, not because I think that. Okay. Again, political parties with that. You may not adhere to all of them, okay? But there are those out there, of course, who say, I'm a Democrat or Republican because they say believe in this, I believe in that. Same thing. So a true disciple is one who gets their authority directly from Jesus and only from Jesus. It's not a matter of I believe this, and since he agrees with it, okay. I may not believe the past, but because he says it's true, I now believe it. It's mine now. That's a disciple, a learner. Make sense? That's the true kind. This last usage, this third kind, is used of the true disciple of Christ. Disciples of Christ recognize, again, Jesus' authority, and we submit to his authority because he has all authority in all things. So we're that true disciple. We accept our role as learners because he says so, not because he agrees with what we already believe. The authority over the Christian is also, it's not the church. There are some Catholics, for instance, who believe it's, you know, the church is an authority. Jesus is total in authority. We don't need anything from the church itself, but from Jesus. We know no other master but Jesus. We submit our will to no one other than Jesus. Teachers or preachers do not occupy that position that Christ holds, but their teaching holds authority only if it agrees with what? If what Jesus teaches. Then they have that authority, okay, with those things. The disciples of Jesus recognize limitations in our own ability to know. Okay, I don't know everything. You don't know everything. So we have limitations. We must be told what we're to do. Okay, God must tell us those things. we have human reasoning. A lot of people believe in human reasoning, and they go by their own wisdom, or what they think is their wisdom. But by our own human reasoning, there's no way that we could possibly know God. That's why we have this written word. Okay? No one knows God without Him telling us what to know of Him. Okay? Otherwise, we have our own opinions, own ideas, and so forth. We cannot know, other than from nature, of course, but we cannot know definitely that there is a God. God told us that there's a God. Being with that, with human reasoning, how many gods exist? We had to be told how many gods exist. We're told there's one God. How do we know what we're doing is good or it's bad? Well, God tells us those things. Our own human reasoning, although some think that they can do it, can't do it. We've got to be told those things. We've got to accept our position as learners for those things. We're told, of course, that I know that the way of man is not in itself, is not the man that walketh to direct his own steps. And that's from Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Any comments so far?
I just thought of that. You talk about the disciple. He has to be a reflection of the teacher. And in John 8 and verse 19, Christ there says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you have known my Father also. In that, he was a reflection of his Father in that he done his will. That should be the same application made to a disciple, that we are a reflection of our teacher in all things. Therefore, people would know that whose disciples we were or are.
Exactly. It's like Jesus says, you'll know God because you know me. They should know Jesus because they know us and in turn know God. Good point. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Again, this idea that we must be accepting as learners to accept that role we get everything from God. The disciple of Christ sees in Jesus one who knows what man cannot know without divine revelation. We've got to be told these things. He can reveal the Father to us because He has seen the Father. Again, as C.L. just pointed out right there. Jesus can speak authoritatively about God. Why? Because He's deity. And He was with the Father from the beginning. And we won't turn there for time's sake, but John 1 and verse 1. But also a disciple of Christ recognizes the authority of Jesus, and we voluntarily submit to Jesus' teachings. Okay? We accept those things, that role. If I follow Christ's teaching only when I'm able to logically verify it and reject the points that I don't agree with, then I'm not a disciple. Okay? I'm not a true learner in those things. Some who claim to be disciples accept Jesus' authority, again, only when it agrees with what they already believe. That's point number two on those three different kinds of disciples. They're not true disciples on those. They're picking and choosing such things. But such men are not disciples of Christ. They're disciples of their own wisdom. Okay? They're following their own mind. Those aren't true disciples of Jesus. The second point. Is to be active. Okay. We accept that role, but we also got to be active, actively involved in learning God's will. Not only do disciples recognize the authority of Jesus, but we also give diligence. We want to do what? We want to grow in His Word. We recognize He has all the authority. We want to learn, but we've got to be active in that learning process. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Someone read 2 Peter 1 and verse 5 for us.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add your faith virtue and virtue knowledge.
Okay, so adding this knowledge, we understand that one can only come to Christ through this knowledge of the truth, from John 8 and verse 32. Disciple is drawn in as God or to God through this certain process.
How are we drawn to God? We are taught, we learn, and then we come. That's the process.
Turn to John chapter 6, and we'll see this in these verses here. Again, this is how we're drawn to God. John chapter 6. Let's begin at verse 44. And look for these words here. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned, lost my place. Heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So this process of being taught, you must learn from those, and then you come. That's the process of being drawn into God here. No man can come to Christ until he has learned of him. Romans chapter 10. We won't go through it for time's sake, but Romans 10, verses 9 through 17. Hearing the gospel, obeying the gospel is necessary to become a disciple. Okay? To become a disciple. I'm going to write some verses here.
If you'll hear us, pick one and turn to it. I'll have you read Romans just a second here. Y'all see that? No. That's 2 Peter 3:18. Matthew 28:18 through 20. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. That's when we'll get back. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 14. And finally, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14 as well.
After becoming a Christian, a disciple continues to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So, go ahead, someone begin with 2 Peter, please. After becoming a Christian, you want to learn all things that are commanded. So we read Matthew chapter 28.
Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
After becoming a Christian, he hungers for the milk of the Word. 1 Peter chapter 2.
Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, and prophecy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby.
After becoming a Christian, he reads Scripture. 1 Timothy.
Shall I come to give attention to reason, to education, to doctrine?
Christian recognizes the need to grow and not be swayed by false doctrines. Ephesians chapter 4.
And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
And then finally, after becoming a Christian, they recognize that they should grow to the point of teaching. Hebrews chapter 5.
Of whom, with many things to say and hard of interpretation, seeing you are become dull of hearing, when by reason of the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of solid food. For everyone that partaketh of milk is without experience of the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The solid food is for full grown men, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil.
So again, we're talking about we've been accept that role as a learner. And we're being active in these things. We're active. Why? Because of these things we just read. We realize these things. And we got to improve on those things. That's why we're active with those. In contrast, again, this is based on the definition of a true disciple or a true learner. Okay. Think about whenever you were back in school when you studied algebra or a foreign language, where it might be. You were a learner, maybe not a disciple, we won't use that word there, but you were a learner of that. Do you still study algebra? Unless you got kids, I guess, out here once in a while, but you're not a learner of that anymore, are you? You were a learner, but you're not a learner of that anymore. You used to be. And it can go with any topic. Again, you're not still a learner of that. You were a learner, but you're not. You can become one again by re-studying that. The same thought, when Christians quit learning God's Word, we cease to be learners or disciples. It's a continuous thing to do those things. Okay, it's like you cease to study algebra. You're no longer a learner of algebra, although you could be again. Okay. Those profess to be Christians but never take time to read or study or hear sermons and so forth, or don't pay attention during sermons and so forth, cease to recognize Jesus as their master in those things. We cease to do those things, not letting God continue to instruct us in those things. So let's not cease being disciples. Let's continue to learn in all we do, okay? The third point.
We accept, we're active. Be followers as well.
Disciples are followers. We're accepting of our role. We're active in that role, but we're also followers of Christ. Disciples who follow in the footsteps of their master. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Told here in verse 21 and verse 22. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's the wrong verse. I apologize. I'm looking for, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Anyway, be followers of Christ in those. To be a disciple of Christ, a person must be, again, a follower of Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Someone get there and read verse 24 for us.
If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Okay, the key word of follow. Turn over to John chapter 12. Someone read verse 26, John 12, 26.
If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor.
John 10, verse 4. It says here, when he was brought out on his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And turn to Revelation chapter 14. Again, this key word of follow. We won't read the whole verse of Revelation 14. Just a portion of it. Verse 4. Well, let's go ahead and read the whole verse with context. It is these who have not been defiled themselves of women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed for mankind as first fruits for God and the Lamb. So again, this idea of follow. We've got to be accepting that role. We've got to be active, and we become followers in all that we learn in those things. Whenever one asks a question regarding whether or not you should do something, there's an old adage, you all remember, what would Jesus do? And that's a very, very true adage. People have the bracelets and necklaces. But anytime that you're confronted with anything, ask yourself that question. If the answer is no, he wouldn't do it, we shouldn't do that either. We're followers in all that we do with that. And we'll finish by saying that Jesus summed up all these aspects of discipleship when he said, if ye continue my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's from John chapter 8. So if we profess to be a disciple of Christ, we need to be involved in some kind of regular study. Okay, things we have going here as well, of course. And again, as we mentioned from the beginning, if you're a Christian, then you're a disciple. Okay, that makes you a disciple. Any questions? Thank you all.